I've started the broadcast so you could serenade us.
Oh.
I thought that would have been a perfect way to intro this episode and then segue into our feelings for today. Definitely not getting that guitar back out life. Now. Well, now it's just an awkward intro. You're going to make me edit this?
Oh, no, I will. I'm just waiting for you to start.
It is started. He already told you.
I was hoping that you were going to serenade us first.
I'm not good at guitar. I was practicing before we started, so I was just waiting for everything to happen. That's why I put it away. I figured it was starting soon, so yeah.
Well, I'm genuinely disappointed.
I'm not good at it.
I felt like it was really setting the mood for this episode, though.
It was a Mayday Parade song.
I feel like you're just further justifying my theory here.
Oh, Florida, please be still tonight.
Yeah, that is spooky. Welcome to the episode of Pocket Knife News. I'm Aaron.
I'm Homer.
I'm David.
We're just the bundles of joy today. Friday the 13th is quickly approaching, and the most prepared podcast on the planet does not have a Friday the 13th episode planned. Beacon of readiness right here. Beacon. Literally, neither of my co-hosts are paying attention.
I'm listening.
I was just getting real motivated. I was like getting real into this talking thing that we're supposed to do. And I look up and at the screen, and both of them are just paying attention at their phones. That's fantastic.
My conversations are getting blown up because of a recent tragedy. So there's a lot of messages coming on my phone.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, as if this episode wasn't low enough, huh?
I got this.
I can hear Homer playing video games.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Let's change the subject.
Who did not see this coming?
Who did? So we ended last week's episode. Let's
pick
up.
With Homer playing video games.
I said last week's episode, not every episode, Homer.
You're right. What was I talking about?
So let's pick up right where we left off, just like Halloween 2 did. We talked about the Cult of Chucky released when we were recording.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure all of us have watched it since then.
I watched it like right after we finished the podcast.
Nah, I ended up watching it like the next day or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I was real, I want to say disappointed. I really,
really?
Like, I know what they were trying to go for. I know which way they were trying to do it, but I was not impressed. It was not my, oh my God, like, this was great. I can't wait for them to bring it back and do something else with it. Like, nope.
For me, it was on par with the last one beforehand, The Curse of Chucky. I mean, it was just as good or just as bad, however way you want to look at it. I mean, it's not winning any awards for anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they've all been pretty much straight to video, and I went in there with really low expectations, and I was pretty entertained. I mean, the first part where he's talking to that old woman, that crazy schizophrenic, and he's like super annoyed with her. He's like, I'm coming back for you.
Yeah, he's like, I'll be right back.
He's like, crazy. He's
like, crazy fucking bitch.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I thought obviously they missed parts, but plot holes all over the place, just because it's a Chucky movie. It's the way it's supposed to go, but it didn't really explain. I guess it explained it briefly, but all of a sudden he has this power to put his soul into multiple dolls, and each has a personality.
That was actually one of my favorite parts, because I was thinking that same thing, and then when they go to explain it, I was like, they explained it in the most direct-to-DVD horror Chucky movie way possible. Yeah, so I was on voodoo.com, and like, I figured out this way to transfer my power. Bam!
Now I was like, really?
I was like, that's ridiculous, but totally appropriate for this movie.
Did you look up the
voodoo.com? No, we didn't.
No. Did you did either of y'all go online and like read about the movie? And there's an after credit scene on the Blu-ray DVD cut that's not on the Netflix. It's after the credits. Yeah, it's like short. It's like 30 something seconds. I won't spoil it for you if y'all want to find it for yourselves, but it's pretty
cool. No, please.
Spoilers. Go ahead.
Please.
All right. Yeah.
Do you remember?
Let me tell you how likely I have to watch this if you don't tell me right now.
You know, his sister, Andy's sister, Kyle from Child's Play 2?
Mm-hmm.
She shows up. It's the same actress. Yeah, she shows up at his house because the original Chucky head doll is still there. And she just shows up to continue torturing Chucky. And then it ends with whatever the actress's name. It says so-and-so as Kyle. And, like, badass, like, sound in the back. So, I mean, I think they're trying to go, you know, trying to set it up for the next ones. I mean, I'm excited. I liked it. I liked that Andy Barkley came back, even though I feel like...
It's weird when you see an adult actor get worse from his childhood days.
Yeah,
he came off really creepy himself.
Yeah, yeah. Which maybe if you were in that situation, you'd kind of grow up creepy too.
Yeah, because I feel like he's a little like psycho himself. I thought the way that it ended was like. I don't want to say unfulfilling because it's not the word I want to use, but I'm like, really?
Yeah, it was just so like, okay, cool. Bye. Yeah. And that was all.
I think it kind of ended just like, it just kind of ended. They're like, yeah. You're like, where are the rest of the people? Just, they've still fallen and they can't get up? Like, where are they? But I mean, I like that he just like, yeah, I'm just going to walk out and now I'm on the loose again.
That's yeah, cool. And they left, like, what, 2-3 dolls in the damn thing. So what are they trying to do? Just go on Amazon and eBay and try to, like, you know, get all these things back from, you know, old school style? Or did they, like, re-release them? I don't know if they said that in the thing. Like,
that's a good point. Oh, look, yeah.
They still got this doll from 1980-something.
You know,
let's bid on it. It's $300.
Actually, my favorite part of the movie was when Andy shipped the doll to himself so he could get the gun out. I was like...
Oh, yeah.
That's something you'd only see in one of these level movies, and that's really clever. Like, that. I don't think that idea is going to get as much attention as it should.
Yeah, that was a pretty good idea. But see, at first, to be honest with you, I had thought, like, he did it because Andy figured out how to do it, and he was going to summon himself into, like, the doll or something, and that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But it did not happen as I thought.
I also wonder, too, like, can he only transport himself or copy himself into that doll?
Obviously not, ooh, because he
goes into people, yeah.
Oh, so. Yeah, you're right. So, dude,
so here's the thing.
So it's basically going to be a world of Chucky, right?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to say...
As soon as he finds My Little Ponies, we're screwed.
Yeah, but so the whole... Remember, it invalidates all, like, the first couple of movies, because remember how there was a rule that had to be in a child because it was a... whatever, so that's why he went after Andy, right? And he kept going after him because that's what he tried. And then in part three, he couldn't go after Andy because Andy was too grown up, so he tried to go for the smaller kid, right?
Yeah.
And so now it's just like, oh, I can put myself in anybody, and it's kind of like that movie Get Out where the person's still inside, but he's over, like, I guess he takes over the body. It's weird.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so.
Put a lot of thought into this.
I mean, so
D-level movie.
At the end of the day, like you said, it's a really bad horror franchise.
Yeah,
and I think that's the appeal for it. Like, I went in there expecting that, and so I enjoyed it because one, I think Brad Dourif. Yeah, I just love his freaking voice, Chucky. He's an amazing actor already. but I mean, I obviously know him more from playing Chucky, and I mean, it's just funny. It's iconic. Obviously, Chucky's iconic, and the voice is iconic. Jennifer Tilly cleans up very well because I'm sure y'all know this, but she's actually a professional poker player. She's married to a professional poker player, and she doesn't really do acting that much anymore, except when they.
Oh, I'm aware that she doesn't do acting very much anymore. I can't imagine why after that performance.
Yeah, I'm telling you. she cleans up real good because she does not look like that in real life.
Horrible, David.
Sounds kind of dick to say, but just
they're all, what's the budget for this movie? It's so cheesy. They're like, well, Jennifer Tilly's coming back. We're going to have to double that right now. We're going to have to double this. No, I'm just kidding. She was fun.
Yeah, cool, like, see her back. She brought her character back pretty well. So I'm not going to complain about that one.
Nope, no complaints about that. So on the topic of Netflix, last week I gave a good one. The Be Afraid was an excellent horror movie I found on Netflix. So we were scrolling through it looking for something else, and I found one, and it looked like it would have been a scary movie. It had the makings of a good scary movie. It was called Boys in Trees. Have either of you seen this movie?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
It's in the horror section. And I understand why. It's not a horror movie at all, but it was really fucking good, man. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. It's about this two kids who have, one is not on the social ladder at all anymore and is the subject of bullying, while the other is high on the social ladder and is with the cool kids, and they cross paths on Halloween night during their last year in high school, and they kind of take a small trip down memory lane and just try to remember it out. And because it takes place at Halloween and there are some spooky elements to it, I understand why it's there. It was not a horror movie at all, but it was a really good flick. Nice little twist at the end.
Was it like a jump scare kind of thing, or was it just...
No, not at all. Not at all with the jump scare. I mean, maybe like a couple little things, but more like psychological horror, I would say, if anything. But I would say it was more a thriller or a suspense drama type movie than it was a horror movie, for sure. But it was a great movie. Great plot, great acting. A bunch of Australian kids, so you get to hear kids with accents talk, which I'm always a big fan of. So, so that's my Netflix recommendation of the week.
Dun, dum, dum.
Bada bing, bada boom. Some trailers have dropped over the last couple days.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's kind of weird that Monday Night Football gets cooler trailers than the Super Bowl now. I thought that was kind of weird.
It's just timing.
I understand it's timing, but the Super Bowl hasn't had great commercials in like several years.
Yeah. No.
They've been really crossing their fingers with those Transformers commercials, and let's see how those have panned out.
Not good at all.
So have you all watched the trailer for this little film that takes place in space?
No, Guardians of the Galaxy?
I saw the Star
Battle
Wars
for the Suns
on Monday. On Monday Night Football. I had to rewind it a couple times because I didn't understand what Luke was saying.
Oh, I did not. I watched it on my iPhone. And I'm glad I watched it after I read I guess it wouldn't matter beforehand. So I had watched it after actually just watched it today. Today's Tuesday. And I had seen a lot of people be like, it was really underwhelming. It wasn't that great of a trailer. I really expected more.
Same.
What?
I'm with you, Homer. I liked it. I was like,
dude, that was enough. Like, there was a lot of great stuff to it. It kept me actually wanting to go see the movie, not just like, can't wait to see it.
Yep. I am right there with you. I was actually like, wow, this trailer has made me excited for the movie. I really like that I know very little about the plot. Seems like they had a lot of key scenes in that trailer. But that being said, I'm not looking forward to Princess Leia potentially being killed. That sucks. And that's definitely some heavy suggestions they have in there. But aside from that, I think this movie actually looks really cool. I like the whole Finn and Phasma battle.
Yeah.
Like they're going to square off. Like, oh, he's meeting his maker, and she's going to go maybe team up with Kylo Ren, or while she's trained by Luke Skywalker. I don't
know. John Boyega tweeted before the trailer came on. He's like, you ever had a boss that you just wanted to kick his ass? He's like, watch the trailer. Or he's like, coming up. He's like, just watch.
You're kidding me. That's a genius. I love that kid. That kid's a great actor. He's a very good actor. Dude, I watched him in one of the – have you ever seen Attack the Block?
I know what you're talking about, but I never saw it.
He's like 12 in that movie. He's just like some ghetto kid in London, and it's hysterical. Alien Invasion movie. Very good.
You check it
so
out.
I've been a fan since then, and I like him, and this trailer had me more excited than I was before. David, you don't seem to feel this way.
I don't know what I was expecting.
You saw Robot Hand. What more did you want?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, again, it's one of those things where I always say it. It wasn't bad.
It was Robot Hand.
I just feel like it was big whoop. I think I like the first trailer better than this one. I mean, obviously, this one gives you a little more information. It's a little more visuals, but I don't know. I mean, you know what it was? Because I watched it again on my iPad. I was watching it on it. I watched it during Monday Night Football, and my aunt has this really badass 4K TV, but it has that fucking motion smoothing on there.
Oh,
and I think it ruined the trailer for me because my first impression was like, this looks like shit. And then I came back upstairs and I watched it for like the third time, but for the first time on my iPad, and I was like, okay, it looks a little bit better. And I think it's just a stupid motion smoothing that made me kind of like that. It looks weird. Very weird, but I think that's what it was. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to watch the movie regardless, and I'm going to be there like the day of, probably Thursday night when it releases at 7 p.m. So it's not like it's going to change my mind about anything. I'm really interested to see how the story goes because it looks like Luke is pretty adamant about not training her, and it alludes to her teaming up with Kylo Ren, which is pretty interesting. Oh, and that's another thing. Kind of, I don't know what it is. Like at first, when The Force Awakens was announced, and the actors were announced, I forgot his name, but it's the guy who plays Kylo Ren. I was actually on board because he's a great actor.
Adam Driver.
I really like him. I think he's a good actor. I've watched him something he's been in before. But this role, man, I feel like it wasn't the right casting because after several viewings of The Force Awakens, I find his character cringy. And in the trailer of this one, he's like the most cringiest part of it. And I don't know if it's the faces he makes.
Well, it's supposed to make you cringe, dude. Like, no, he's not a bad guy.
Like, not cringe like I'm afraid of him. Like, cringe like, oh my God, like, what the fuck is that face?
David, let me try to make sure I'm understanding how you feel about Kylo Ren, because I think I see where you're going with this. To kind of compare him to another character in a movie most of us probably have seen. Have you ever seen Grandma's Boy?
Yes, I love Grandma's Boy.
Is he like the...
I mean, I like.
Is that who you're trying to say? No. He's like
no.
The main programmer, very cringeworthy, a lot of black.
You would like it if you listen to techno. Face
already.
Yes, no, that's not what I'm saying. he doesn't. Even though he
doesn't instill much fear in me.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for because you know Vader instilled fear. Darth Maul instilled fear. I mean, not real fright, but as far as the feel of the movie, like you were nervous about.
Vader was the best thing about that Rogue One movie. Rogue One.
Yeah,
he was scary, dude, man. But he was pretty cool.
But not even Vader. Like all the villains in all the movies, when you talk about Count Dooku, General Grievous, Palpatine, any of the villains in the movie. I mean, even I don't remember what the guy's name, but the freaking main villain in Rogue One. I mean, you were always nervous for the protagonist to fight the antagonist or come face to face with the antagonist. And in this one, you just saw him kill Han Solo, which you were like, motherfucker. And he was acting like a baby. And then when he fights Rey, you're like,
he killed his dad.
Well, yeah, I know. But
he killed his dad, and he acted like a bitch about it. Like,
he acted like a bitch about it beforehand. What I'm saying is, I don't know. I feel like,
you know, I see what you're saying. There's a lot of problems. I think I agree. I'm gonna have to agree with you on this, David. I'm agreeing with you.
That's a shocker.
I know. I see exactly what you're saying, and it's kind of weird to hear somebody else say it because he's got the coolest lightsaber ever.
Yeah,
like it was Darth Maul's lightsaber. Now it's Kylo Ren's lightsaber. He has the coolest lightsaber, right?
Yeah.
That scene where the only scene that I thought that he might kind of been scary in the first movie was when he like messes up the dashboard. Like in the moment when you're like, oh dang, he just like destroyed that stuff. But then you think about it for a second, you're all, did he just have a temper tantrum?
Yeah.
Like, what the and I'm going to say this from the beginning. Kylo Ren looked really cool, and he looks really cool when he has the hood on.
Yeah.
And then you see the movie. First of all, I feel like he's missing the back half of his helmet, right? It just, like, stops. You know how, like, Vader's, he had, like, the full drape on it? His just stops midway. And,
yeah, it's just
and then
like
when he tells you he just wears the mask, he's like, I wear this mask like my father before me. You're all, he wore that mask because he couldn't breathe without it. You realize that, right? Like, that's what the point of that was. He wasn't like, oh, you know what? This is a very tactical object. I'm going to utilize it to help instill fear on people. No. He's like, I need this to survive, and I'm still kicking ass with it. Kylo Ren's like, yeah, this motorcycle helmet looks makes me look badass. Like, that's it. And he flat out says it in the movie. Not a lot of fear coming from this guy. You're all, this is the guy?
Yeah.
And Luke even says it in the trailer. I'm scared. I wasn't scared last time. I'm scared this time. You know, thanks, Joker, but really? He doesn't look very scary right now.
No, I don't think he was saying that about like Kylo. I think, well, he was, but he was saying it in a way like training Kylo was scary, but training you, I mean, training Kylo, I wasn't scared. Training, what's her name? Yeah. I'm scared.
Yeah, that's what he meant. I'm pretty sure that's what he meant.
So, like, Kylo Ren's like the rich prepper kid, right? That just kind of grows up to be an asshole.
Yes.
Whereas Rey is the from the streets, worked her way, worked six jobs, and still got scholarships to go to the school. And Luke giving her a hard time. And it's going to be some like, I'm so hard on you because I see so much of me in you. Potential. I can already see it. I can already see
it's like,
it.
It's like that shitty like story of a or like it's like a story of a shitty white rapper who's like,
all right, let's calm down.
Mundane, right? And he thinks he's like the second coming of Eminem, and he decides to freaking go on tour, whatever, and he ends up getting signed by some mediocre label, and he thinks he's the shit, but he's really not anything. You know? That's why what I feel.
I'm not going to compare him to anybody, because I'm not really talking about...
I'm not talking about anyone specific. I'm just saying, like, in that kind of... That's like kind of mentality. Like, he thinks he's the shit, but he really isn't. Like, he doesn't seem fearful. I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of my heroes in the story going up against him. Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree. Moving on, another trailer dropped the day before Star Wars. The final trailer for Justice League dropped. Now, I'm going first on this. I'm going first. All right? Because you all know Justice League and the bets, the Wonder Woman's, the Aquaman's,
the robots.
Homeboy Flash, and the robots. They're all my homeboys and homegirls. Yeah. They're all... Oh, the one thing that I have loved from this marketing for Justice League is, for the most part, we have no idea what the fuck this movie's about.
Yeah.
And see, I love it! What's crazy? I love it!
But see, what's crazy is... Oh, no, keep going. Hold on, before I say it, I want you to finish.
Okay, dude, I love this. They blew their load with Batman v Superman. They're all, we're going to show you a trailer 1 year before it comes out. So when it was actually time to promote the movie, what did they given us all the plot details. We see him in the armor. We see the main villain turn into Doomsday, a.k.a. the Ninja Turtle. Like, we see that happen, and it really, really blew its load too early, I feel like. In this movie, we've seen some really cool action. We know that it's going to be some recruitment of trying to get everybody together. But aside from that, we have no idea and can barely even piece together, I think, with some of what we have. We know that there's going to be a huge battle in a tunnel in the city with the parademons. Coolest new scene in this new trailer was Cyborg catching Aquaman. He goes, he ain't done yet. He goes, yeah. That's going to be the catch. I don't know why there's not an Aquaman action figure already. It could already be in production that just goes, yeah, when you press on it. This thing, when Cyborg catches him, when he jumps off the thing, when Wonder Woman comes, bam! Oh, don't worry, I got these parademons off your bat car for you. Dude, it was really, really cool. And it was really, really cute for for them to be like, oh, you're finally going to see Superman. Psych, motherfucker, it's a dream. We have not officially told you Superman is back. We haven't shown you the main villain aside from just these small little clips. We know there's going to be this giant battle with the Amazonians. I'm still confused. Mm-hmm. Is that like old? Is that going to happen first? I don't know. And I'm so glad I don't know.
See, and what I love the back signal, is... that just answers. But what I love the most is that it could all be part of his dream.
Yeah, and they touch on that. He goes, I had the dream. She was he invaded. Motherfucker. So Wonder Woman knows what's up. Wonder Woman knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Dude, this is like a total Injustice level stuff, and Injustice has a fantastic storyline where we're almost at the verge of a multiple dimension, which, I mean, I really don't want to get into what DC's doing with their cinematic universe right now because it's all over the place, but they kind of are hinting at there may be some tangential universes that aren't actually in the same universe, which is weird, but I am really liking what I'm seeing with Justice League in particular right now. The only thing I wasn't a big fan of in this trailer was the song they used, cover of David Bowie's Heroes.
Yeah.
I was much more a fan of the Come Together cover.
Come Together.
This was a much more mellow tone, I felt like. And it didn't get me hyped like the Come Together did.
Yeah.
I think if they would have used another version of that song, or even just used that same song in there, I would have been much more like Aquaman. Yeah!
The main little thing, that's all he says.
I love it, dude. That line where he's the phrase, how does he say? He goes, the phrase, strong man is strongest alone. So that's not the phrase. That's the opposite of the saying. That's hysterical, man. I loved it. I like that they've kind of lightened it up with still seeming to keep a pretty serious tone. Homer, you were saying? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that I just love that they actually made it, like I said, to where it could be a dream. Like, that whole trailer could just be one of his freaking flashbacks. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. No, I'm totally down for that.
But I mean, no, I loved everything about it. Like, even though all they did was pretty much add, of course, a little bit here and there. But I mean, it was good nonetheless.
Yeah, dude, and I love it. There's only, I think, three legit trailers for this movie, and I really, really liked that. David, you're awfully quiet over there in Peter's corner.
Well, I think I've already told you my opinion of the movie, this trailer. I mean, like I said, I'm still going to go see it because I'm just a big
Actually, you have not told us your opinion of the trailer at all. You've sat in silence the whole time.
No. I've told you my opinion of the trailers in the past episodes.
Oh, okay. But this is a new trailer now.
Well, yeah, but see, to me, it didn't do anything that the previous trailers already did. You know, already did for me, I should say. Obviously, there's new scenes in there and everything. And you're right; it doesn't give you a lot of information about what the story is going to be about. And I like the way it starts off as a dream, blah blah blah. But I just, I don't like. And I told y'all this before. I don't like the way they're filming this movie. And I think it's just my preference.
Wait, what do you mean? Like the look of it? You mean the Zack Snyder look?
I'm sick of this filter type of filming is just all it is. I mean, it's still gonna be hopefully a good movie. I'm still gonna go see it. But yeah, I'm not like super excited to go see it. Like y'all are, I should say. But like I said, I'm still interested. I think they're trying to do I would be happy without any of the jokes or the funny business that they're trying to do with, you know, the Flash and trying to make, like, throwing a little comedy into it. I mean, it's funny and I like it, but I think the tone for, like, Man of Steel was more serious. You know, BVS was serious.
Well, so Snyder has always said that BVS was supposed to be the most serious he ever made it. The idea was to build the tone and then BVS would be the breaking point, and then Justice League was always meant to have a slightly different tone, which is why it introduces in Wonder Woman. There's so much natural humor in that. It's like playing on her innocence in particular, her naivety, or whatever that word is.
Naivety.
playing on that. And I think you have a lot of this in this movie so far, where it looks like, you know, Ezra Miller's The Flash is just going to be kind of a funny guy in general, which yeah. makes sense. And it kind of plays into, like, if you're looking at the personality types too, like Batman is supposed to be strong, serious. The Flash, he's fast. And when you think of someone who's fat, has a fast personality, I would think of fast, like quippy, like
yeah.
sarcastic, on the edge, like who's fast-witted, you know? So I just think that that really plays into his character. I'm actually most concerned with the Cyborg character because I keep forgetting that he's even in the movie. I bought the fucking special San Diego yeah. Comic-Con action figure because I thought it was so cool and I'm so excited to see him, but I sometimes forget that he's in this movie because they're just really not playing to him at all, yeah. which has me a little worried about his involvement in the movie. But, I mean, you know, you do what you do, I guess. So I have one final question about the Justice League movie in general. Do you think, aside from Superman, obviously Superman is going to show back up, but do you think there's another character that's going to be introduced that we haven't seen yet?
Lantern.
I say yes. I just don't know who. I want to lean towards the Lanterns, but I mean, like he says in the, Alfred says, he's like, well, you know, it's good to see you. I thought you were going to be here. So I'm assuming it's somebody he's known before. But then they also say in that other one where he's like, there's no freaking lanterns to protect you anymore. You know what I mean?
No so lanterns.
You're yeah. not really assuming that there's going to be any. Like, you're just like, well, we'll see what happens.
Would it be hilarious if, like, Ryan Reynolds popped out?
Like, wow. just as a character walking around in like, the background?
Like, no. Like,
it'd be awesome if, like, Ryan. The green, like, the he first, just sees them
the worst
come
cameo ever.
He's just there, and he's like, oh, man. I thought I saw something green up there.
Yeah, like something like that. If it was quick like that, that would have been funny. But I feel like
I think it's going to be Nightwing.
You think so?
Yeah,
I would kind of agree.
I can help. He's all, no, I need you in Bloodhaven to protect that city or something like that.
I feel like it's going to be Red Hood.
Really?
Wouldn't that be weird if they actually did do that?
It'd be really weird that they have a Nightwing movie confirmed and a director picked out, and then they go, oh, we're going to show you the Red Hood right now.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty weird. That would be awesome, though, because we have seen Dead Robin
yeah.
already. That would be pretty cool. I dig it.
That's what I'm kind of assuming.
All right. The last thing we were going to talk about, I'm going to kind of roll this into a little bit of a larger conversation. The Blade Runner box office. So let's talk about the entire box office weekend. Because it'll okay. kind of tie back into it actually time. Being Spooktober. We're going to check out the top three movies from the weekend last weekend. The number one movie is Blade Runner 2049. Anybody want to take a guess on how much money it made last weekend?
So $31.9 million.
$32.7 million is the box office mojo final numbers. Anybody want to guess what the budget for this movie is?
$155 million.
$150 freaking million dollars, and it opens with $35
million. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I won't be able to see it till Thursday, but I want to see this movie bad. Like, I loved the first one. I thought the first one was pretty good. They brought Harrison Ford back. It's a true sequel, they said. It looked really good to me. I'm just kind of upset that I don't know. I feel like
it got great reviews.
I feel
people love it.
It was one of those. It's a good movie, but the thing is that it was too long for the sequel to happen. You know what I mean? And I feel like there's a lot of people going, well, what the hell is Blade Runner? You know what I mean? Even though the original just got released, it got, well, re-released on 4K about, I want to say a month ago, maybe.
Well, but the original right, came out, what, 83, 84?
Something like that. Shoot, yeah, I think that. Homer has a point in that, not that it's been too long that it's come out, but it's been too long for a movie that was never popular.
Yeah, like, it was one of those. It was a cult classic.
It was a cult classic, exactly, yeah. after it came out. So it never drew mass attention. I cannot believe that this has a $150 million budget on a movie that was a cult classic.
I mean, but the idea of it was great, and the trailer was great. It looked like it was worthy of a $155 million budget, and I'm sure the story warrants it. But here's the other thing, and I think this is where they missed the mark. Aaron, you've seen the original?
I have not.
Okay.
It's on my DVR right now to watch.
So Homer has, obviously. I haven't seen it either, and I've always heard of the movie.
You too, David?
But I've never had a desire to go watch it. I didn't even know what it was about. All I knew was that it was one of Harrison Ford's movies, and everyone, when they talk about Harrison Ford's best roles, talk about Han Solo is like his best one, and they say Blade Runner is probably his like other best one. But yeah. I never took the time to watch it. It always had that. I think of what Mel Gibson in Mad Max and like. Terminator and Total Recall.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt about the movie. And I never really had a desire to go, hey, let me go watch this movie from the 80s that you know, other people like. So in that sense.
And the thing with that movie too, with it being a sci-fi movie, to further add to your point, David, a big reason I don't watch it and reason my wife wouldn't want to sit down and watch it for the most part is movies like that don't age well.
No.
The effects, you know, the special effects, the practical effects, all of them, the makeup and the cosmetics and stuff, it doesn't age well. And, you know, even with this, 2049, like, you think that's only 30 years away? And I'm pretty sure that's not what my kid's future looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking at today, like, maybe 30, 40
years? If we want to compare movies to what our future would be looking like, we're still waiting on the official and real freaking hoverboards. You know, I'm still waiting for flying cars. So
the point I was trying to make is that as a millennial and the millennial generation who in my opinion drive a lot of movie sales, movie tickets, most millennials, if I had to guess, if you could actually do a survey, I could probably guarantee over 50% of millennials have not seen this movie, the original one. So why would they want to go see the sequel when they have it? Now I feel like it will recuperate its budget. Maybe not in theaters, maybe worldwide.
No, definitely not in theaters.
But it'll recuperate its budget, you know, through video sales, hopefully, and through streaming stuff and everything like that. And again, it is a movie I want to see. Because the trailer looks really interesting, it's making me want to go back and watch the original one so I can go watch the sequel. Because I love the line in the trailer where he was like, I had your job once, and I was good at it. And I remember the first time I saw that, I'm like, man, this movie looks badass. What is this? And then it said Blade Runner 2049. I'm like, holy shit, it's a sequel. And so I'm going to go watch it eventually once I get to it. But as of now, I can't because I'm big on not watching movies out of order. So
yeah, and I would have to agree with you. I really want to see it. And I think a lot of millennials will want to see it for two words. David, that would be Ryan Gosling. It's definitely on my list to see, but one of the big things that kind of makes it tough for me to watch movies like this, like I have Legend. I'm a huge Tom Hardy fan, and I have Legend where it's Tom Hardy.
You have not seen that movie, right?
And I haven't seen this movie because one of the same reasons I'm not going to see Blade Runner for a long time is I can't sit down and watch a three-hour movie. It's a long time. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes, man.
Jesus
Christ. It's a long movie, but there's...
I have time for Justice League being 3 hours long? Fine. I'll do it. But, like, even with BVS, like, that's a 2.5 hour long movie. I know if I'm putting that on, I'm fast-forwarding halfway through the movie. Like, off the bat, immediately. Almost immediately, I'm fast-forwarding to the right watch, and maybe I'll watch from there. Or if that... I'll skip straight to the apocalypse scene and then I can watch from there. But like, I can't, you know, I have a wife with two children and a job. Like my wife and I have two children. Not my wife just has two children. But when I said it, it sounded kind of weird, but like, and there's a lot of other shit I want to watch too. There's a lot of good TV. Oh, yeah. Like what am I supposed to do? So I can't, it's hard for me to justify a 3 hour long movie. Unless it's something like I really want to see. And I do want to see Blade Runner, but it's not like on my
top. You need to.
It's like not even on my top three of 2017.
Well, I'll watch
that
it.
Said, anybody want to take a guess what the number two spot is for last weekend's box office?
It?
Again? Nope.
The Mountain Between Us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to go see that. Like, and... I questioned it, like, two, three times every time someone had told me, I want to go see Mount Vesuvius. What is that about?
One is that? And then there's somebody goes, Idris Elba. I understand why you saw it, but I don't really want to see it. I'll watch Idris Elba do just about anything, but I'm sorry, that movie has not piqued my interest. That being said, that movie only has a budget of $35 million, so I can see this movie definitely recuperating. It had a $10.5 million budget. Let's end this show with the number three movie of last weekend. Anybody want to take a guess what it is? I don't know what I just did.
No idea.
No?
I don't know, dude. Your guess would be...
I'm going with my head watching it.
My guess is going to be right because I have the
list
in front of me. It's It, y'all!
Really?
It is the number three movie, bringing in $9.9 million. Domestic total over $305 million on a $35 million budget. And that's domestic only. In its fifth week, it is in the top three movies still. Dude, it is Wonder Woman right now.
Well, apparently it's the highest grossing horror movie of all time.
Yep, it just beat out the Exorcist, and I think the Exorcist owned it that spot beforehand.
That's crazy. So,
it makes sense.
But not adjusted for inflation, right? I'm sure it's not adjusted for inflation.
I'm pretty sure it is. Or I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway, still pretty impressive.
Yep, I agree. Horror movie hanging on strong. This weekend is Friday the 13th. Be crazy. Get some tattoos. Go see what movie comes out this weekend. I think it's Happy Death Day is the one that comes out this weekend.
Yeah,
no?
that's Halloween that movie. Weekend? No, it's the 13th.
Yeah, dude, that movie is I think one of the few movies I'm excited for this month.
Well, obviously, none of us are going to see that this weekend.
No.
Well, I mean, unless you want to.
I don't know what you're doing Thursday night, but yeah, Happy Death Day is this weekend. Oh, and The Foreigner, dude. Have you all seen the trailer for that?
Oh, the trailer is pretty interesting for that. I mean, it's Jackie Chan. And
when is Jackie Chan not interesting, first of all?
Well, okay.
Yeah. What are you, too big for your britches over there? What are you doing?
No, I'm just trying to think. You're right. He's very interesting in all the roles. I just feel like a lot of the characters are the same. I like this one because he's more dramatic. It's more of a dramatic role for him.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a great dollar theater movie. Let me put it that way.
I love how you have your like hierarchy. It's like the lowest is probably TV, and then you have like Redbox, and then you have dollar theater, and the mother of all is the theaters.
So the lowest tier is bootleg.
It does get lower, people.
That's as low as I'll go, is to bootleg it. And I feel terrible about it, and that's why I usually don't even bootleg most of the time. Because if it's a movie, like I feel like I got to give it some kind of due. So after bootleg it, it's Redbox. So if it's at the Redbox level, I mean, that's
pretty low. Give it some puns.
Yeah.
Give it something.
I did the last Redbox movie I got was 47 Meters Down. Have y'all seen that yet?
Mm-mm.
No, I heard it was pretty trippy. Yeah, I heard it was pretty trippy. Had some jumps and scares to it, but
not nearly as good as The Shallows. I loved The Shallows. This movie, I did not love. However, that being said, great ending to an okay movie.
Great ending to an okay movie?
Yeah, I was watching it with Deborah, and we were just watching. I was like, man, this movie wasn't that good, huh? And she's like, yeah, no.
They ended up dying, right?
They released it in theaters because of how well The Shallows did. And she's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's definitely not as good as Shallows. And then the ending happened, and I was like, whoa. So, well, that was all right. I was like, that was pretty cool. It was a good ending. Look at that. I gave you a Netflix and a Redbox. That's where Netflix came from. I gave you a Netflix recommendations.
That's Netflix.
Netflix.
With Netflix at hand, I just want to touch that I'm kind of upset that they pushed back The Punisher.
Well,
oh yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense, I feel like.
Yeah, with everything going on, but I mean...
No.
I don't know.
It would make sense if they weren't going to release it at all because of that reason, but I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty liberal. I am.
He's pretty John Stamos.
But
John Stamos. Good housekeeping.
It's I think it's dumb. I mean, whatever. I'm sure. I mean, it's not like I have like a dying need to see The Punisher on Netflix. I still need to watch all the other ones.
Well, I mean, it didn't even have a release date yet for one. Two. So you really don't even know how far it's been pushed back.
That's true. I think I heard somebody. Well, I heard something drop and somebody said November.
Yeah. So, I mean, a month. I mean, and that kind of makes sense because you shoot yourself in the foot if you don't adapt to what's happening in the world. I mean, look at what was that movie with Josh Brolin when he Gangster Squad? They had a movie done and they redid that entire movie because they had the scene where they open fire in the movie theater and then the Dark Knight situation happens. So that movie didn't do well, but the studio would have taken a huge hit to the face if they didn't make that change. And I think that Netflix is kind of in that same situation. Netflix, especially having some kind of tie to Disney, they have to be aware of those situations and the postpone, especially if it's just coming out in November, like it's a month. Like we still have Stranger Things coming out. That's not postponed. I mean,
that is true.
You don't have much to complain about, I feel like.
Oh, Matt, you ain't got much to complain.
In regards to that, and there's some great shows coming out. That new Mindhunters comes out this weekend. Stranger Things comes out Halloween weekend. And just drew a blank on his name. Frank Grillo, he has a movie coming out that Halloween weekend too on Netflix called Wheelman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Based off the video game?
I don't know if it is.
Didn't he play the Punisher?
No.
In that shitty movie, The Warzone or whatever? Who played it? I can't remember.
No, I don't know.
No, it wasn't
Frank Grillo, though. He played Crossbones.
Yeah, I know he played Crossbones. Anyway.
Well, all right, boys. That's a wrap. Video.
That's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Back attack.
Wow. Like
a white boy. Rapper.
Right. Here we go.
That's your second white boy rapper reference in this show.
Another white rapper emerges, but no matter how many fish in the sea, it'd be so empty without me.
Please do your exit now.
Thank you for joining Pocket Knife News. I'm David.
I'm Homer Guest.
And I'm Aaron. Y'all have a great night.